Hey, and welcome to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. Today I have a fabulous guest who has one of the most intense shorts you're probably ever going to see. I have Mita Chu here.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it right for once. Don't tell anybody. I always screwed up. their film Eureka is playing on the film festival circuits now, and you guys need to see this. It's intense stuff. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Let's start at the beginning. Like, do you have nightmares or things? Like, where does this come from?
I do have vivid dreams. In fact, I'm writing a feature that's about dreams. But my dreams are, I tend to enjoy my dreams, even if the dreams are bad. I don't know. It's life experience. Good dream, bad dreams are all great life experience, just like movies. But the film is intense because the subject matter, the characters, you know, the internal psychological conflict. So, you know, I just felt like I shouldn't, that's something I've really tried hard to portray with all means of, all the ingredients of cinematic aesthetics.
Now, do people have an intense reaction to this like I did? Like, I'm watching going, this at times I found difficult to watch. I mean, it's only 14 minutes, and it's powerful at the 7-minute mark.
Thank you. Yeah, some people said they were, it definitely reminded them of their past traumas in different capacities. And some people did have a hard time watching it. But it's part of the intent to me, like, as a filmmaker, I always set out to, you know, whether it's an entertaining story or a story that is, whether it's uplifting or it's trying to depress you, I feel like it's, as a movie goer, I like to watch films that kind of shows me something, whether it is some joy that I have not experienced or some sort of, a psychological understanding of other human beings that I haven't thought about or a life that I haven't lived. So, yeah, so that's what I'm trying to kind of depict, this kind of experience.
Well, you've given me a lot there, and I want to discuss. I mean, this film takes place 150 years ago. How did you discover this? I mean, where did this come from? Because, I mean, this, I don't mean to be rude. You live now in a different world than that. I mean, where does this experience? Did you see it in a book? Did you see it in a film? Or did your grandmother tell, you know, and get to you? How did this get to you, this story?
Well, I can time travel, so I went back.
Oh, perfect!
long story short, I was kind of traveling in the rural America, and I was just curious. I mean, I was some of these mining towns that have history of, like, Irish immigrants, Finnish immigrants, and I was just, like, curious about, like, Chinese immigrants, since that's where I was born. And the more I read about it, the more I was intrigued by the part of history that I was never told or I never learned. Where, especially because the economic depression around us, the late 1870s, like, the white population blamed the kind of loss of jobs, the kind of economic recession, blamed it on the Chinese cheap laborers. And there was this whole series of, like, campaigns driving out the Chinese populations from these mining towns because there were cheap laborers and they were blamed for taking away the jobs. So I found that really relevant. And but at the same time, I don't want to make films that kind of just like depicts, oh, here this kind of racial conflict and people were hurt. And I wanted to find this kind of moral gray area. That's what always attracts me to filmmaking. That is, these women back then that were, they didn't have other opportunities to make a living other than being prostitutes. Like, roughly like 70% of these women working in the American West in that time period were working as prostitutes, and the other 30% were probably undocumented or listed as seamstress, but even though they probably were still working in these brothels. So I thought it was very interesting it was very interesting for me to kind of try to imagine what their life was, being both facing the oppression, both as women having to work these jobs, as well as being Chinese in this rather really racially like, environment where it's really hostile, everything was really hostile towards them. So I really want to kind of find, depict that kind of in a contradiction just to ask the question of like, who do they see themselves as? And then to me, the main character's journey is to kind of break out of the cage for both Chinese and being women, not in the sense of trying to go against that, but in terms of finding out what it means to them, to survive in this world on their own term. So that was something that I really wanted to portray, and so that's the origin story.
Oh, good. So let's break down the film a bit more. Shooting with shadows. Every shot you have is either dark or light or a mix. I'd say mainly dark, but it looks... Did you color correct those, or is that all set design? Because that thing is pitch black at times. And it's awesome the way you shoot. Sorry, I'm just going to finish my statement and then you know where I'm going. That you shoot, and I mean, it still has great clarity on the characters, on the leads. So how did you do that?
Well, I had a very talented cinematographer. His name is QZ, and we worked on a couple of films together. And I do think that we appreciate contrast a lot. Like every image needs to have that kind of contrast. Otherwise, and especially in the production, you have to have that kind of design and built in. And otherwise, I mean, I've also come from the kind of guerrilla filmmaking where I was this one girl crew where I just do everything myself. So I do know like the limitation of color correction, like how much you can do to pull out that contrast from nothing. And it always looks rather artificial. So you always have to kind of plan that in ahead of time. So for this film, it was mostly a combination of like working with limited resources. You know, like the location we shot in was not our first choice. And we wanted somewhere a little bigger. And because when you have a bigger space, you could have more varieties visually in terms of shot choices, where to put the camera, how close, how far you can get. And then the other byproduct was the part of the darkness comes from that. The space have limited amount of windows. And we kind of leaned into it because being like the character being kind of enclosed, confined in this place, not having much freedom because they worked as indentured prostitutes. So they, and also outside, they couldn't rely on other people to survive. So we lean into that kind of darkness inside. We for lighting, we try to use as much natural light or simulate as much natural light as possible. And therefore, the windows, there are a lot of bright windows and a lot of dark interior. And then the light, we always try to kind of motivate the light coming out from the outside and try to illuminate the characters, whether it's directly or it's bounced off from the floor. So that's something that that's kind of the rule of thumb for our approach to cinematography.
Oh, you're not getting away that easily. I know you thought I was done with this question, but we're going to keep going. When you had to change locations, did you adjust your script in any way or your shooting technique because of that?
Could you repeat the question?
Yes. You said you couldn't get your first location. You had to go to a smaller location. How much did that change the film?
I think the ending scene is the one that changed the most. To me, like at this point, I've learned to embrace what I have, and I often have this kind of a macro plan in terms of what the cinematography is supposed to do. What's the camera supposed to do? What it is trying to illustrate. For this film in particular, I think I wanted the camera to capture the unconscious. How does character see herself? How does she see herself in this situation? A lot of the camera work, you know, like the kind of panning away, is almost like she does not want to see herself in that situation. It's too hard to watch herself, and she doesn't want to see herself. You know, there are always moments, you know, imagine when you're crying and you're being vulnerable, and if someone's filming, you probably be like, don't film me, you know. That kind of interior lens at herself is something I wanted to capture. So that kind of broad stroke of that kind of design, the visual design, came way earlier. And that kind of guided me through looking for locations. So I know, like, if this location is somewhere that I can pull off what I set out to do. So only when we have the location, we started to plan the shots and plan most of the technical execution of it. Because the location you saw is actually just one, when we first scouted the location, it's just one room. And then my really talented production designer, she put in the walls and then wallpapered everything. So the room looks like it got a couple rooms, but really, it's just one big space. And I wouldn't call it a big space, but it's just one space. And then we partitioned it. And then, I think a big part of it is through the, when we have the location, we design the space and then we design the shots. So that's more like our process.
Okay, let's back up. To the beginning of the film, we have a crate shot. It's very tight. Like, I mean, claustrophobic tight. How was your actor in that space? Did you have to direct the actor ahead of time? I mean, obviously, they're not seeing what I'm seeing. They see you. I know there's a space on that. But were they even uncomfortable getting into that crate? It looks very tiny.
Yeah, the crate was tiny, but it's, you know, we only built three walls. It's
yes, I realize that. There's no fourth wall. But for me, there is.
It's not okay. The uncomfortable part is not the cage itself. It was the coldness. It was a really cold shoot, even though we shot in California. It was, I spent a good amount of my adolescence in Michigan, northern Michigan, so I know what it's like to make films in the cold winter. But making films in cold Los Angeles was actually worse. We had this location because the location, though it looks indoor, it's all the windows are kind of broken, so the wind just goes in and out. So like a whole day, like 12-hour shoot, we didn't really have indoor heating or anything, indoor facility to kind of keep us warm. So by the time we get to that crate scene, which is more outdoor, we film it right outside in the dark. So it was really cold. Everyone was cold. And it was just like trying to focus, for me to focus, and for the actor to focus. And the tough part to be a director in these situations is just like how much you want to push them without feeling like you're asking them to do something that they're trying to say yes just to be nice. Or, try to read to see that boundary there. The directorial boundary is the tough part. And, just to endure the weather and then have the kind of audacity to say, can we do another take? There's something else I want to do, even though everyone's like, that's the hard part.
You're the director. That's what your job is. You got to get what you need. If you don't get what you need, you got to reshoot it.
I know. That's a struggle.
Okay. Speaking of struggles, the sounds in this film are overpowering at times. At least I found that. Now, how is putting in the sound later for you? Did you struggle with that? Because, I mean, your picture, don't get me wrong, breeze without it. I think if you sent this to me without the sound, it would still be remnant and strong. But with the sound, it's like, woo! I feel like I'm in a tornado at times. Is that what you were after? Like, just, like, I'm stuck in there with them and I'm being beaten down all the time.
Yeah, it's part of it was that, I usually, in terms of directing films, I approach it with, like, kind of aesthetic kind of motifs. And in this film, a sound and visuals work hand in hand together. If you kind of see the beginning part where the camera kind of push in, pull out, that was one of the motifs that I also, it's like coupled with a sound motif, the kind of wave thing. And so I kind of have this design of this, the using the snare drum to have to emphasize this kind of wave like quality to it. And then versus that's a rather sustained motion versus the more like the direct snare hit, which is more like a spiky kind of pointy kind of sound. And the two, I wanted to work hand in hand together to show this kind of the wavy sound is almost like capture pulling her back. And then the snare hits are more like the kind of her rebellious kind of trying to break out of it. So that is the kind of initial design and how it unfolded into the kind of tornado quality. I don't know. There is a level of self-indulgence in it, you know, like the film that kind of psychologically as well as visually kind of has that kind of loud quality to it. I'm like, you know, I haven't made a film that's like just like go all out in terms of sound design. So why not? Part of it is the why not. And part of it is that, you know, if you know the end, if you remember the ending of the film, right before the end credits, it's rather quiet. So I do want to kind of build up the kind of chaos before we reach the actual, in terms of plot, it's more chaotic in the end where the riot happens. But I want to draw the contrast for the end where the riot happens. It's a really lonely solo string instrument, just like in the darkness, that kind of surging quality to it. And then build to this, no more percussion, no more snares, no more waves, and just this pure lyrical soaring score. So that's kind of the design of it. So maybe that answers the question of why it's such a tornado.
No, perfect. It's your film. I want to discuss set design. I mean, I could tell this is not a big set, but your set designer spends way more time than I would expect on in small film. On basic design, like costuming is beautiful. Like even stuff around when I'm looking, they seem to focus. Or maybe you're hiding things with the shadow and just emphasizing the items. Maybe that's what you're doing. But great job is what I'm going to say. So did you tell the set designer what colors to use, or was that their choice?
It's a collaboration. It's like, yeah, my production designer, she's really, really talented. And she's also really, like, it's, I don't think the whole construction and the cost for the set cost more than $4,000, I remember. Even it's really, really minimal for a period film. And yeah, so it's like a collaboration, you know? Like I remember in terms of, for example, for color choices, a big part of color comes from the wallpapers. And it was a choice. Like she went through all these catalogs of wallpaper companies or thought about like designing it ourselves and then to choose the most cost-effective version and then we ended up like a couple different patterns to talk about patterns and colors. And then we thought a dark green was this kind of rather muddy, also like has a kind of period quality to it. Most of the pictures from that time period was black and white. Actually, all the pictures from that time period.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think there's colors.
For Chinese, brothels were black and white. And so we have to take some imagination. So we were, but like for some reason, the green wallpaper felt appropriate for the kind of the brothel main room, and then the texture of the flower felt appropriate for Long Long's room. So yeah, it was like this back and forth between the production designer and the DP and I, and yeah, they were the one who come up with, you know, great choices, and I'm the one who just like kind of narrow it down and be like, what do you think, and then decide. So yeah, without them, I wouldn't be able to come up with such a beautiful picture.
In writing this, you use a lot of racist words and violence against women, which I really felt are really no topics, I would think, nowadays. How did it feel to be writing those? I understand the film is set in the past, but writing that now, how is it writing that when it's sort of like a society no-no?
I think, yeah, I mean, part of it is that I do think nowadays certain kind of, I guess, mainstream pictures are a little too watered down to kind of try to stray away from these kind of depictions or topics. But it is partially because there are a lot of movies that do it badly. You know, I feel like to me, it's always about actually saying something about it and actually as opposed to just using it as this kind of using it as texture as opposed to using it as the actual point of conflict. You know, like some movies using like in a different context, think about sex scenes, you know, like sometimes sex scenes are just there for aesthetic rather than progressing the plot. Then, you know, that you can talk, you feel like that's not necessary. But certain films where the eroticism is really important, and then without the sex scene, it would be different. I feel like with these type of more risk-taking or a little more, I don't know, what's the word, to more sensitive topic, I think it's a similar kind of conversation, whereas is it being used to just be to create this, oh my God, I can't believe they are doing this, or is it actually making people think about the issue at hand? So so yeah, I do believe the films I enjoy the most are the films that make me think and show me things I wouldn't dare to imagine, whether it's topic matter, a subject matter, or it's just the things that characters do. You know, I personally enjoy films where the characters make choices that are things that I wouldn't make myself, but I'm curious or wish I could make, or wish I wouldn't make, but it's curious how bad could it go, and maybe through the someone else's journey, learn something myself. So yeah, I love filmmakers who take risks, and I aspire to take risk in my own.
Okay, I'm off to the fun questions segment. So you have three questions, or just fun, answer them while you want.
Okay, sure.
So I'm leaving the intensity alone now, don't worry. Just because it's your first time on the show, your favorite film?
My safe answer has always been Synecdoche, New York, a Charlie Kaufman movie.
I can see that in your film.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
It's such a mess. It's such a mess. I love mess. I think that film captures that kind of messiness of life. It's such a poetic, and yeah, it's such a mixed bag of things. So it's always been one of my favorite films.
As you've watched film throughout your life, what is your film that's taught you the most?
I would say as of recently, I think there are two films. Is that a fair question?
Oh, absolutely. Answer all you want.
Yeah. One is, I mean, this is a classic, Hitchcock, Notorious. But to be specific, it's really just the clarity of situations. That the clarity of situation is what gives rise to the suspense, the emotions, rather than what actually happens on screen. It's rather what happens prior to a certain scene that you already know what's going to happen, but then the scene just kind of play against it or takes you even further from what you thought is going to happen. So that really taught me in terms of like the clarity of situation, the circumstance is so important for dramatic storytelling. And the other one is this Dardenne brother film called Le Fils.
That I have not seen.
The song. It's I don't think it's anywhere but on some DVDs, or you can find some bootleg version on the internet. Yeah, it's really good. It's about a father who lost his son to a child murderer, but then this father is this master carpenter, and then accidentally takes the son's murderer as an apprentice, and he has to struggle to figure out whether what he can do with him, whether to revenge, or the whole film is about him withholding that desire to revenge. And it's really simple setup, but the film is really short. It's like 90 minutes, but it just really, really thoroughly portrays this, the kind of psychological struggle with one's morality and what does it mean to. Yeah, I love the film for the fact that it's the moral of the story is really ineffable. And it's really all through, and there are very few dialogues too. It's just really through the human activities that just portrays the inner struggles. And I learned a lot from, I learned a lot from these two films.
Okay. The last question is a little difficult one. Do you prefer to watch black and white film or prefer to watch color film?
I mean, I haven't seen as many black and white films as color films, which means I don't have as many favorite films in black and white as in color. But I mean, there are some recent stunners that's in black and white. I mean, I guess not that recent, but yeah, it really depends.
So before I let you go, please tell everybody website, Twitter, whatever you want to promote. This is the perfect time for it.
Sure. Yeah. My Instagram handle and Twitter handle is MidaTrue, so MIIDACHU. And my website is just MidaTrue.com. So yeah, I've been working on features. So yeah, excited to share more in the future.
Awesome. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you for having me. Bye.